Idly hey.
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished.
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
It is another edition of the Brett Allen Show, a pop culture podcast. Happy New Year. We are back with more amazing episodes. And today we are chatting with Ellen Holman. She has been on the show before. We had her on about a year ago-ish. I think maybe right around this time she was promoting a different project, but we are talking about The Matrix Resurrections, which is available in theaters now and on HBO Max. Streaming. Now, I have to say, if you can see it in a theater, I strongly recommend it. I've done both, but I will say the theater experience is far much better. And Ellen, welcome in. It's good to have you. Thanks for coming back, first off.
Thank you so much. I must have behaved myself a year ago if you're bringing me back now. Right?
Well, no, of course. Well, you're funny. We still haven't gotten your husband on yet, but that I digress.
Yes, if you can track him down, I'm telling you, he never stays in one place for long.
I know. Well, for those listening and watching later, her husband is in the industry as well. He does stunts and other things too. They work together on a lot of their projects. But I was going back to listen to our conversation from a year ago, and I think that that time this project was done. And I think we were kind of in a weird place waiting to decide, because it was supposed to come out like a year ago, right? That was the original plan?
Right. Not unlike pretty much every other film and television prospect out there, everything got pushed. It was all in the air. So yeah, we were elated to hear that it was actually being released, that it was actually happening, because of course, everything is just very unpredictable right now.
Yeah, that is to say the least. And I know we were talking about your character at the time. We didn't know anything, but if you haven't seen it yet, Ellen plays Echo, which is just this whole movie. I have to tell people, you just have to suspend your expectations for this, because it although it does kind of continue on in the trilogy type series, it's so different, and a lot of it is filmed and based here in San Francisco in the Bay Area, so that's a lot of fun. But let's talk about it now that it's out and you've had a chance to watch this, and a lot of people have seen it already. How are you feeling? Because this was a project that was talked about for a long time, and then it took a while to get things going. And then once you got going, the pandemic hit and things kind of got shifted around. And now, like almost 2 years later, it's out for people to watch.
Right. There's so many obstacles. I mean, already, just to make a film on this level has so many challenges, let alone a global shutdown. And something that I think is so brilliant with Lana Wachowski and this continuation, essentially, of the first one is she really hones in on nostalgia.
Yes.
And she reminds us that life always has more than one choice, or the illusion of choice. And I think now more than ever, especially with what's going on globally, we have to reevaluate our life's decisions. And you are forced to sit there, whether it's in quarantine or whether it's in your chosen location, you have to take a stronger look at yourself in the mirror than ever before. And of course, there's a lot of parallels there in regards to the mirror, looking at yourself. And reflecting upon the choices that you've made and maybe reevaluating that and creating a new future for yourself. So I think right now, more than ever, it is absolutely poignant, especially going into this next year.
Yeah, I think that's so very true. And like with any project, you know, there's, I would think, at least on some level, some sort of visceral message that is important for us as content consumers to take in. And this is definitely it for sure, because, you know, as much as there is so much happening in this movie from the start, it really is just, it's for those of us who watched all the originals in real time going all the way back, you know, to the early 2000s, and then to finally have this happen in sort of a continuation, but also introducing new characters and really nostalgia. And again, Lana just, she did fantastic with this. I mean, this is just an absolutely beautiful, beautiful film.
Right, and it's a love story as well. And to see the relationship that we fell in love with 20 years ago still burn bright on screen, I think was such a joy. And something I think that differentiates this particular installment from the other ones is that it has humor. Like, it actually... Yeah. It points a finger at itself. It's very self-aware. It's very meta in that aspect, which I think so many films take their audience for granted nowadays, especially the bigger budget ones. They just want to stick to the franchise and they just want to, you know, the CGI and explosions, where Lana was very self-aware. And she really made it a point to keep as much of the physical aspect and the action design of this film practical. What I mean by that is that Keanu and Carrie Ann really jumped off a 50-story building at sunrise. They really did that with no safety net. They really blew up the streets of San Francisco. My husband was one of the coordinators. My husband was one of the rigging coordinators as well as stunt coordinators. And they literally had helicopters navigating in between the streets of San Francisco and blew up cars in the streets. That is not CGI. That is actually practical. And there's just a certain level of danger and gravity, I think, that differentiates it from, you know, I love Marvel films, but when you see the Marvel films, you see there's all these explosions and bots and CGI, and you're like, I'm not really connected to what's happening here because I know all of this is manufactured in post-production. So when you do see, when you're watching it on screen, especially, I agree with you, the big screen, watching it in the movie theater, is, it just takes it to a whole other level. But by watching it and knowing that she did this practically when so many people told her not to, they're like, oh, it's cheaper to do it green screen. It's so much easier. Well, Lana doesn't care about cheaper. She doesn't care about easier. She cares about authenticity. And that's something that I think is really hard to come by. And that's why I will always have a profound respect for her.
Yeah, and from what I've heard and read just in press and things like that, that's part of the reason why there was, I don't know if hesitation is the right term, but just pause and causality about bringing another one of these movies out, because of the fact that, you know, when you do have these Marvel films, which your husband has done, what's that? Yep.
As it's so many of them, I don't think he's even watched all the ones that he's done.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that the last time. But it's interesting when you get into a machine like that, because of the fact that there's the formula. And, you know, when you watch a lot of this press from these new characters, Shang-Chi, which just Legend of Shang-Chi, did I say that right? I don't know. The Ten Rings. The one that also filmed in San Francisco, too, which I want to talk about that, because it's insane that you guys would do that, because that city is not. Let's just switch gears about that, because you filmed most of this in San Francisco.
In Berlin. So we shot it in Berlin as well as San Francisco. So we spent a good couple months in San Fran, and then we ended up in Babelsberg Studios in Berlin.
But it's a lot of work to put something together like this. Like, it's no joke.
Right.
And then you throw a worldwide pandemic on top of it. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, no, and honestly, just from an insurance standpoint, for Lana to approach these two giant skyscrapers, hey, guess what? We're going to build two giant truss structures in between. Giant skyscrapers, and we're gonna have a wire going across, and we're also gonna have one of the biggest stars in the entire world hang from this wire with no safety net. So cool, can we do that? So you can imagine the amount of convincing and just getting the equipment. Like, think about that, getting all the equipment up to those 50 stories, building those truss structures. Truss structures are the giant metal structures that you can then go on to do your rigging. Connect all your rigging equipment to it, obviously for safety, because you can't You would only get one take if you didn't have it.
No, I know. I mean, it's just crazy when you watch this movie. Again, I watched it in the theaters initially and then, of course, at home recently as I was getting ready for our conversation and just kind of refreshing my mind and things. It's a beautiful film. I encourage people, you know, to see it in a theater. If you can see it in IMAX, even better, because it's just very beautifully done. And if this were to be the last, and that's the other thing too, is when you create something like this, the big question is what's, we always want something more. We want something next. And it's like, well, we just did this. And again, you filmed some of this, a good part of it in San Francisco. I'm very curious, just as someone who's local to the area, when you're shooting something like this, I mean, it just has to be, I mean, that city is already crazy and a nightmare just to navigate alone, just like going down to visit. That's why I don't go. But then to try and film a movie down there, I imagine it takes a lot of work and a lot of pre-production to just even film a scene or two, which can take, you know, several hours in some cases.
Right. I mean, that's part of the reason why a lot of productions don't shoot in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's just so much red tape, just from a permit standpoint. I'm funny because everything has up here, but nothing shoots here. because of that challenge. And Lana Wachowski has always had a deep place in her heart for San Francisco. She's had residency there. So she's always wanted to bring production to San Francisco, and same with Berlin. And would it have been easier to shoot elsewhere? Absolutely. But once she had her mind set on this, her heart set on it, nothing was going to get in her way. And she did it. And she did it. I don't know how she did it, but she did it. It's incredible.
Your character, I mean, just the whole thing is just amazing. Again, I say that a lot here, but it's very true. One last question here. We've gotten through all the holidays. We're in a new year. Are you going to take a little time to relax a little bit, or are you already on to the next project? You laugh. You're already probably working on something else, I'm quite sure.
Yes. I just wrapped a project recently. And then I'm actually going on to do another one in, my God, what are we, beginning of January. I leave in a few weeks for another one. And then hubby is off to start shooting soon. Where is he headed now? He's going to be in Finland. And then before that, he's going to be, I don't know, wherever they send them. I think he's over in Europe somewhere.
Wow.
So we basically get used to getting a phone call like, hey, babe, see you in 6 weeks. Or, hey, see you in a couple months. Where it's been nearly 10 years now. So we're used to getting that phone call. It's when we find our stride. So like right now I'm staining barn doors that he built and we're very hands-on. Like I love building stuff and painting and all that kind of stuff. So we're doing some home reno stuff. But of course, once I'm like, oh, hon, it's so great to spend all this time together. That's when the phone rings. And I know it's like there's feelers out there that are like, nope, we're going to send you somewhere else.
Yeah. On the rare occasion, you do get to work together. Obviously, there's been projects that you've done together. But then, of course, I mean, when you're in this industry, I heard Bryan Cranston say, you know, one time it's like, you know, you're my wife, but the business is my mistress. And his wife corrected him and said, no, the business is your wife and I'm your mistress as long as I'm your only mistress that you ever have. Because you travel so much and you do so many things apart, you know, but yet you get to, what you're doing for us as the consumers is just bringing us things that will hold the test of time. But this is great. Be sure to check this out, folks, The Matrix Resurrections in theaters if you can. And we'll link our other conversation from last year in our show notes as well. Ellen Holman, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for hanging out again. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Happy New Year. Be safe out there, everybody.
That brings today's show to a close.
Goodly do.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.